sorry, honey, because of what I'm feeling. Or I can take my eyes off of that and I can put them back on Jesus. I learned that worship is my best weapon. We all have weapons that we can use. We all have armor that we can wear. And God says that we need to capture our thoughts. Well, we wouldn't need to capture them if they were all good, right? So when we have those ones going through, instead of choosing to just let them go on and on and on and on, let's stop sinking like Peter when he took his eyes off Jesus, but let's walk on the water. Let's keep our eyes turned to Jesus. Break into a song. Because when you start praising, it changes everything. It changes the atmosphere. It changes your thoughts. It changes your heart. It changes everything. So I want you guys to stand with us today, and I want us to be warriors, and I want us to fight with worship. Let's praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Every chain, break.
Bear with us as we teach you a new song. The words will be up, so feel free to sing along as your heart desires. We are going to sing it twice, so if you don't get it the first time, you'll definitely get it the second time. That way there's no excuses.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, we have so much love for you. And Lord God, we are so thankful to live in a place where we can worship you freely. Lord, sometimes we take that for granted. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. We should be yelling your name from the mountaintops, from the rooftops, from the bathroom, from everywhere. Lord, it should just always be all about you.
Amen.
So forgive us when it's not. Help us, Lord. Help us to get rid of our old man inside. Help us to get rid of our flesh and fight against it, Lord, and just to turn our eyes upon you. Lord, because that's the only way we can succeed in this world, is by your grace and your power.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for the words spoken today. Lord, we just ask that we all have open hearts and open ears to receive openly and freely, to allow ourselves, give ourselves permission to receive your love. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
How's that working? There we go. Yeah, this is a good place to be this morning. Yeah, this is good. And like we've said before, we want to, Kim and Rick are here. Hey, Kim and Rick are here, right on. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. Whatever happens here, If we're doing anything right, we're going to be bringing glory and honor and focus and attention on Jesus and on nothing but nobody but him. So join us in that as we strive to honor him and glorify Jesus with our worship, with our prayers, with preaching, with communion. We're having communion, the Lord's Supper this morning. Yeah, this is going to be good. We're looking forward to Stan's message. He gave us a glimpse of what's coming this Sunday. Last week, he gave us a glimpse of what he might be talking about, and we're looking forward to it. If there's anybody here that does not have a Bible and would like one, I've got some here for you. If you would like one, don't hesitate. I'd be more than happy to get you one. And for those of you who may not have heard, Gaston's in the hospital, and he's doing how well, Kara? Ouch. Ouch. So continue to pray for him. For those of us who may not have heard what Kara said, he's got a feeding, they gave him a feeding tube now because he's having so much trouble with solid food and whatnot. So keep praying for Gaston. And I think that's it, Stan. What else? Is there anything else that I'm supposed to be saying that I'm not aware of yet? No. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Stan. God, thank you for the way you have treated us, the way you care for us, the way you constantly draw us to you. Thank you, God, that we're here this morning. We want to lift you up. We want to glorify you. And so, God, let your Holy Spirit move in this place. Let your Holy Spirit move throughout freely, and may every other spirit be bound and held captive under the authority of the Lord Jesus. God, come and glorify your name, God. Glorify the name of Jesus here this morning, God. May we honor you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
I'm just glad that you came, because after what we talked about last week, I thought, well, maybe people are going to just stay home because it's going to be too scary to do this homework and, have to come and be honest. And that's really our prayer. Crystal and I were just praying last night that this would be just a time when we can be genuine and where we can bring to God what only God can receive. Amen. Amen. So a couple things before we get into the Word. That song was a song that God gave to Robin. So that was a great song, and that's a super gift. It's a great thing. So you need to know that, because it kind of, what it means is that originates from our belly. It originates from the belly of Potter's Hands. It's the first time that it was ever sung here, and we were able to worship God together. I love that. And Jeff, was the first time I think you actually drummed a whole drum session, so that was pretty cool too. That's awesome. I just feel like I need to pray for Gaston, and we want to remember Lisa's brother-in-law. I was talking to Lisa, and Tim right now is in Edmonton, her brother-in-law. He's only like 53 or 54 years old. They have some children, and he's not doing well. They're going to remove him from life support. But Tim was able to get there and to pray with him, so I think that's just such the grace of God, right? I can't imagine, if you know you're going to die, you know you're in the hospital, man, you're going to turn to Jesus. You don't have nothing else to turn to when that happens. So I'm just thankful that God gave Tim that opportunity to minister to his brother-in-law. But we want to just, because it's okay, we just pray as we start here. So God, thank you that you're in this place, that you are our healer and you're our deliverer. Just like we just finished singing about, you are Emmanuel, you are God with us. So be with Tim, be with the family. I pray for Todd, who is lying in the hospital, and they're going to remove this life support. God, be with them and bring them home, God. Even when we go through the valley of the shadow, there you are, right in the middle. So we pray for Todd, I pray for the family, and Lord, I pray that you will welcome him home like the good shepherd with just wide open arms. And we pray for Gaston, we pray for just complete healing, God. Here's a man that's been struggling a lot with his health, and we agree today, God, that we would just join our faith to his and ask you to set him free, help him to be done with his pancreatitis and to be done with these kidney stones and whatever else it is, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you say that we can pray and we can expect healing, so we do that right now. And thank you for our brother. We pray for the pain, for the lack of appetite, for whatever needs to happen, that right now at this moment, Jesus, because you are the great physician and you are the healer, that you would rest your hand upon him. Heal him, we ask this. Heal him in the name and for the sake of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Couple things, just so I remember them. If you have a prophetic word, and sometimes you might have that, sometimes you might just feel like, wow, I'm getting something from God here, and I think that God wants me to say something, or maybe it's for a particular person, and there's just a word of encouragement, or someone you've been thinking about, or maybe it's someone you've dreamed about, and you really feel like you have something that you want, that God wants you to say to that person. I have two words for you. Say it. Like, you don't need to do it in church. You don't need to wait till everyone's listening. Sometimes I think we make a mistake that we do that. We think, well, I'm going to wait for the pastor to give me opportunity. Don't wait. Just find that person before church, or you can go during church, or you can do after church. If it's a word for the whole body, and this is from God, come and see me. Well, we examine those things. We take that seriously. Talk to one of the leaders, and we will examine that. We'll present that like we've done that many times. We're interested in the prophetic word or a word of knowledge, but most of the time, maybe you don't agree with me, but most of the time, the word isn't for everybody in the whole church. The word is for one person or maybe a family. So you're on for that. Don't wait for me to tell you to do that. You're on for that. You go talk to that person. You can do it anytime during worship. I don't care if you do it during the sermon. Just take him aside and say, here's something I want. I believe God's laid this on my heart. Okay? That's it. Now the word. I just feel like we need to grow in this. I just want to encourage you. If you have that gift, use it. We've been talking about the woman at the well for the last number of weeks, and how, she was someone who was notoriously known for her, you know, she had a reputation, and it wasn't a good one. She had a reputation, and it wasn't a good one. Like Jesus said to her, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with now, he's not your husband. And she goes, oh, man, he knows everything about me. We've been talking about the woman at the well and how Jesus loved her, right? And he initiates, and I love this about Jesus, he initiates the discussion. Jesus is sitting at the well. I guess got to get one more thing here, but I'll just keep talking. Can you keep listening if I keep talking? Is that okay? Jesus is sitting at the well, and the woman comes up to him, and he says, I need some water, because he's thirsty. And so she says, well, you know, so he initiates the discussion, and she says, you want water for me? I'm a Samaritan. I'm a woman. You would never ask me that. And Jesus says, well, I'm thirsty. And they get into this discussion where Jesus says to her, but what I have for you is so much better than even the water that you can give me. Let's just read it. So a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well that you drank from? And he drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds. And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Amen? And then the last part, I think we have, we're going to just get to that part in verse 28. And this happens when the disciples come back. And they're still at the well. The woman's at the well with Jesus. And what's happened is Jesus has shown himself. And this is so important. Jesus has revealed himself as Messiah. Right? I am the Messiah. And then she says, then it says this, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and they made their way toward him. All the people did. You say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus reveals himself as Messiah. I don't know if there's a better passage where Jesus describes it and makes it more clear. You know, she says to him, hey, we're told that someone is going to come, a prophet's going to come, and he's going to be Messiah. And Jesus said to her, and I don't know if you can be any more plain than this. He says, I who speak to you, I am he. I am Messiah. Amen? I'm spilling. So, last week, we ended up, if you were here, some of you weren't, we ended up with a jar. Remember, we're talking about pictures. I asked you to imagine what it was like to look at the well. Imagine just seeing the well and that one of the most peculiar things that happens in this story, and as we've seen over the last number of weeks, there's a number of things in here that really bring up some questions and that are really interesting. And there's some things that John, the writer of this gospel, he wants to make it very clear to us. He's showing us some things, but we need to be attentive. We need to really listen to it. And so one of the things that John makes really clear is that when the woman left, and this is sort of an astounding thing that maybe we breeze over this, we don't really think about it, but when the woman left, what did she leave behind? The jar, right? So there it was, and I asked for that picture. I said, would you know, draw me, think about the picture in your head. How do you imagine what that must have been like? There's the disciples are coming, and there's the well, that old well that would have been, you know, in that Samaritan, just outside of Samaritan village. And there's the woman, and she's discovered that Jesus is the Christ, right? And she takes off to go into the town because, as we heard a few weeks ago, she becomes this amazing evangelist. She tells people about Jesus, and they start coming, and they all want to know who Jesus is. She's seeing people coming to the Lord, but she leaves the jar at the well. Remember? Don't let my cute granddaughter distract you. Do I have to start again? She leaves the jar at the well. So there we have the jar. And I asked you to picture that. And this is really cool. This morning, Crystal, you're going to love this, but Rick, I talked about Rick and his painting, and Rick painted this for me and for us. And I said, just imagine what that would look like. So there you got, there you have the well, and there you see her jar. And he says, too, this is sort of the image of Jesus. You can see the shadow of Jesus. You see that? There's the shadow of Jesus. And here's the water, you know, as people would take the jar, as the different people would come to the well, you know, there'd be a little spillage of water, but that's the old water. That's the old man. That's the old life. It's going to dry up. It's never going to last. But the water that Jesus gives is a water that springs up to eternal life. Isn't that great? So I don't know if I can, I'm going to find a way to hang this up so you can watch this so that you can see it a bit. It is. Does that work? I'm going to just leave it like this. I got 85 people wanting me to do different things. You can come and look at it later. The homework that I asked you to do last week, and this is why, you know, I'm glad you're here today, is, you know, we learned that we have to leave our jars at the well too. That what really happens when we follow Jesus is that we just need to leave some of the old things behind. Feel free to come up and take pictures while I'm preaching. Honestly, just do whatever. He's going to put it on a screen, I think, right? Is that what you're going to do? Okay. So don't mind me if I'm talking while you're taking a picture. We talked about how, and I asked you last week, spend some time this week with Jesus. Spend some time thinking about what you need to leave behind. And I think if we're honest, every one of us has something in our lives that you go, you know, I need to leave something in the jar. Last week, I mentioned about how that jar for her, for this woman, that was her whole identity. She was the jar lady. She was the one who carried that jar. I don't know how many thousands of times. Can you imagine how many times she made that journey from the well to the town? And the town is in the background if you look closely at that picture. How many times she carried that jar, and that finally, here for the first time, she leaves that jar behind, and that would be a really unusual thing for her to do, because that jar was pretty important in her life. That jar was her livelihood. She made money with that jar because she was likely bringing water for other people. It was part of her occupation. It was how she was providing for her children. That jar, you understand what I'm saying? That jar was precious. That would be like you or me leaving our wallet, you know, leaving our identity, leaving our wallet on the edge of the well, right? I mean, that would have been really difficult for her to do. And she was used to, what was she used to? She was used to carrying that jar around. She carried it around all her life. She had it on her head, or she carried it in her arms, and she'd fill it up. And the fact that, and there's so many things I could say today, I'm going to just try to limit them, because I want enough time for Lord's Supper and enough time to fill the jar with the things we need to fill the jar with today, that you need to fill the jar with. But she's by herself. Notice this today. She is by herself at the well. Normally, the women, not a woman, the women took their jars and they went to the well. Normally, it would be a group of women who would come together and fill the jar. Usually, it would be in the evening. But she's here in the middle of the day. It's at noontime and she's by herself, which indicates, I think John's telling us, that she was lonely, that she was an outcast, that she lived in shame, that even the women weren't hanging out with her. That she was doing this probably back and forth to make a penny every time she brought water for a neighbor, and this is how she was providing for herself. And it is an amazing thing, and we should not miss this. We need to observe this, that she takes a jar and she leaves it at the well where Jesus is. She leaves it there. And she goes into the town to tell the people about who this Jesus, this Messiah, who he is. Isn't that amazing? Are you following this? Isn't this exciting? Thank you, God. Yeah. So I'm going to just make 2 points, and then we're actually deliberately going to spend, I'm not going to preach long, so you're going to go, this is already a miracle. But We're gonna spend some time. If you haven't had a chance to do your homework, we're gonna spend some time and do some homework. I'm gonna ask you today this important question: what do you need to put in a jar? What's weighing on you? Maybe there's an event that's happened in your life years ago, or maybe it's not that long ago. You need to write about it and just put it in a jar and say, I need to be done with this. This needs to be behind me. Maybe there's a person, someone that you can't even think about without getting all riled up. Maybe it's one of your kids that you're worried about or you're struggling with. I don't know what it is for you. I can't tell you what to write down and what to put in a jar. But we are going to do this, even though it might seem weird and no other churches are doing it. We're going to do this because what I said last week, this is something we do in the physical realm that benefits us, that dividends are paid out in the spiritual realm. You understand? We do this in faith that the kingdom on earth, what we do in the kingdom on earth is going to be blessed in the kingdom of heaven. And actually, it's not that much different. It's not that much different than what we do with the bread and with the juice. This is something we do in the physical realm, but it really produces the fruit in the spiritual realm. It's something that we physically do. We're going to deliberately write things down, put them in the jar. Someone are showing, they're showing me the papers already. Thank you for doing your homework, the six of you who did your homework. Sorry. Okay, are we following this? So there's two things I want to say before we get to this. Two things that I think are important, two more things about the woman at the well. And the first thing is the reason why did she leave the jar at the well? Now, some people think she just forgot it. I don't think she just forgot it. She was so used to having that jar, she didn't just, you know, absentmindedly forget about it. What really happened is she let it go deliberately. And she left it at the well because she knew that for her to get to town and to do the things that God wanted her to do and to get that message out, she needed to be free. She needed to not carry this extra weight. And that's what we're talking about today, is what is the weight in your life that you want to be free from? It's time to be free from that, right? So she leaves the jar deliberately so that she's no longer encumbered by it. It's no longer something heavy that she needs to carry around with her. In the army, when you pack your backpack, you take only the absolute essentials along with you, right? When all the guys or the girls nowadays who are in the army and they pack their backpacks, I got to tell you something, nobody packs a fondue pot. Nobody. And there isn't any of the guys who has some lawn darts back there so they can throw some lawn darts on the evenings. That's not what happens. In your backpack, you take only the essentials. And what she has done is she left the jar behind because she doesn't need it right now. And that's what this is all about. What do you got to leave behind? I know what my list is. I got my list. I got the things. I got the people in my life. I'm saying, God, I want to put this person in a jar. I want to put that person behind me. I want to not be encumbered by that person anymore. I don't want to carry any root of bitterness. I don't want this person to be in my thoughts or these people or whatever it is, or this event, right? So this is what we're doing. So the first thing, I hope you're following me here, is that it's for freedom. It's so that we can run unencumbered. We can be free. Can you put Hebrews 1 or 12, on there? Listen to Hebrews 12. I think this really fits in. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Amen? You need to, today, this is our responding to God's word. You need, and I need, to examine our lives and to say, what do I need to be free from? Maybe it's a worry or a fear. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's just anger. You know, you're just so mad. Maybe it's, here's one that I was thinking about, and maybe this will hit a chord here today with someone, but, you know, sometimes we feel like we're not appreciated. I'm not appreciated. I'm not appreciated in my marriage. I'm not appreciated in the family. I'm not appreciated in this church. You know, and we start to bear a grudge about that. And, you know, I'm just saying, if that's true for you today, maybe you need to just write that down, be obedient, and stick it in a jar, and we're going to burn it later. We are literally going to the parking lot, and we are burning it later. So, yes, you're at a wacky, crazy church, but we're going to do this believing that what we do in the physical is going to pay off in the spiritual realms. You know that, just back on that subject again, you know that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, really, if you want to break it down, really the enemy was saying to Adam and Eve, no one appreciates you around here. Does God won't let you have that apple or that out of that tree? Wow, he must not really appreciate. He must. And what you're really saying there is, I'm not loved. I'm not really loved. God doesn't really love me. So maybe that's just a word for you today. So the first thing I want you to understand today is that when she left the jar, when she put it by the rim of the well, what she was doing is she was freeing herself. Amen? And we can be free. We can be free. We can leave all that garbage behind. All the scum, all the stuff that's in that jar, it can stay in the jar. You don't need to carry it around anymore because Jesus Christ came to set me free. Amen? He came so I could be free. I don't need to have all those memories. I don't need to have that bitterness. I don't need to be angry. I don't need to have that event back in my childhood define who I am, because there's a jar on the rim of the well, and I'm going to leave it there. Amen? All right. So the second thing is that, and this is really important, is that I really believe that when the woman left the jar at the rim of the well, who was still there? Jesus. And so she knew, listen to me, she knew that the jar was in good hands. She had learned from her discussion with Jesus and from this interaction and from the way that Jesus described himself as Messiah. You know what? I can trust him. I think I can leave my jar with him. And you know what? I got a pretty good idea that when I come back, it's going to still be there. I don't think Jesus is going to take the jar and just sell it. I don't think he's going to toss it down the well. And that's important today. That's really important today because you need to know this, because this is a hard thing to do when we start writing things down and maybe are some grievances or grudges or things that we're nursing in our lives that we shouldn't be nursing. It's a hard thing to do. And you're afraid that maybe you can't trust, you know, what you're writing down. You can't trust Jesus. But what we know here is that you can trust him. You can trust Jesus. That whatever you put in the jar today, Jesus can handle this. Whatever it is, how big it is, how hard it is, how awful it is, you can trust Jesus. About a year ago, on a Sunday night, we were sitting here with a circle of us, and usually we have about 15 people doing prayer from 6 to 7. One guy came off the streets, and I knew who he was, and he sat down with us, and he just listened to the prayers. He listened to the prayers we prayed, and all of a sudden he broke down, and he just started crying. And he was very emotional, and he shared that he had actually murdered his brother. He'd never been caught for it. He'd never been convicted of it. He felt, though, apparently, that he was in a safe enough place that he could share it, that he could confess it, that he could have other men pray over him, and that he could receive forgiveness. And that's really all I'm saying to you today, that it's a safe place because Jesus is here. And whatever you bring to the jar today is between you and him. I promise you, I am not going to be dipping my arm into the jar and reading, oh, Mike, listen to what, you know, listen to Pam's stuff, you know. Your stuff is your stuff. And your stuff, my stuff is my stuff. We've all got stuff. But what's really important is to know this today, that Jesus, you can trust him. Whatever you are hurting about, whatever you're struggling with, whatever is broken inside, you can bring it to Jesus. And he will understand. And he'll never get blown away. And he won't be surprised. So that's really all that I have to say today. I'm going to just conclude here, but I'm going to ask some of the Lazarus House guys, maybe Ray, are you here, Ray? And Calvin? As I wind this up, we're going to pass out some paper and some pens, and then we're going to listen to a song. This is prior to us coming to the Lord's Supper, and we're going to play that song, I Am Not Alone, so you can get that one queued up for me, please. You got her? So here's where we're just going to pray in a moment. We're going to ask God to take the things that we write down and that he actually, literally removes it from us. You are carrying a weight. You are carrying a weight that you no longer need to carry. Do you hear me? This is not my words. This is the words of Jesus. You're carrying a weight. Maybe it's an anger. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you need to confess something. You are carrying a weight that you no longer need to carry. And we are doing something today that we've never done here before, but we're going to do this because I really believe God's leading us in this direction. We're going to take Lord's Supper together. We're going to experience the cleansing flow of the blood of Jesus. And then we're going to put those notes in the jar. And you're wondering what we're going to do after that? I know you're asking that question. Here's what we're going to do after that. This is one of my old toolboxes, so I prayed about this, so this has got to be right. We're going to take the jar. We're going to go out in the middle of the parking lot, and all the bingo people are going to wonder what we're doing out there. That's okay. This is an old toolbox, and it just reminded me, when I saw this old toolbox yesterday, it reminded me that, you know, the things that we're writing down on our paper, in a lot of ways, those things have been tools that the enemy has used against you and me. Your anger, your lust, your unforgiveness, that is a tool that the enemy uses. He keeps bringing it up. Right, Mike? Right, Stan? Right, Darcy? He says, this is something, you keep hanging on to this thing? I hope you do. Because I can use it as a tool against you. You feel sorry for yourself? Oh, poor you. Just sit there then. Don't do anything. Just feel sorry for yourself. He loves it. It's a tool. Listen to me today. We're putting the tools of the enemy into the toolbox, and we're going to burn them until they're ashes. Amen? Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. God, you are here today, and I just believe this, and I believe that you want to see us set free. Set your people free. Thank you, God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so, God, as we spend 10 minutes here, just some time reflecting on our lives, on our past, on our brokenness, on our hurts, on the things that the enemy uses as tools against us, we pray, God, that you would bring them to mind. We pray, God, that we will be honest with you, that we will respond according to how your Holy Spirit moves our hearts right now. And that we will be able to leave this in your hands and trust you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just about to play that song, Chad. But I want to read this for you, because some of you, I think, are going, I still don't know what to do. So I'm not going to read you all my dirty details, but I'm going to give you just an example of what I think we can say to Jesus today. So I'm not filling the blanks here. But here, listen to this. Lord, I want to leave the rubble behind. I desire to no longer be entangled by the sin that hinders me. And I choose to leave in the jar this day my, and you can fill in the blanks. I bury this. I bury this today, and I ask you to give me grace to forgive and the freedom to truly let this go. I choose to believe that you, God, want me to run this race unencumbered and without needless weight. And so I shed myself of this dead weight because it only tangles me up and it keeps me from moving in faith. I declare the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. And my love for Jesus, I declare my love. He is the author, and he is the perfecter of my faith. Today, I leave my past in the jar at the well, and I trust that with the jar in your hands, Jesus, I trust that you will take good care of the jar. Okay, Chad.
I am
really believe that what Jesus wants to say to you and to me right now is, I'm so proud of you. That's him speaking. I'm so proud of you. And I love you so much. And it's okay. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Just come to me, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Whatever it is, I know that it seems like this is just such a humongous, big, awful thing in your life, and you've been butting your head against it for years. It's fear, it's anger, it's self-pity, it's what it is. You know what it is. It's in the jar. It's not there anymore. It's not on you anymore. So just let it go. Jesus died so you could let this go. He died so that you didn't have to carry this bitterness. You're disappointed. Somebody here, maybe more than one, you're just really disappointed today. Something just really hasn't worked out. It's okay. It's in the jar. You don't need to carry the weight of it anymore. You've been like a swimmer. You've been swimming in the deep waters. But there's seaweed all around, and you're getting tangled up. Your whole life you've been tangled up. This is a sort of the prophetic picture I have. You got the seaweed all around you, and it's getting around your neck, and it's got your arms and your elbows bent, and you can't swim anymore. And the more you fight, the more you fight, the tighter it gets. The more you fight, the more you get entangled. You need to give it up. Turn it over to Jesus. You're struggling in an addiction. You're struggling. You just don't. Some of you don't feel loved. You couldn't be loved. You couldn't be wronger. You couldn't be more wrong. You are so loved by God. You're so loved. He gave his son so that we could be free. His son sat at the well so that he could just take care of the jar and so that she could go off. Why wouldn't he want the same for you? The night that Jesus died, he took bread. And he was with his disciples. He was with his closest friends. He was with the guys he hung out with, the people who sat around the fire with him every night. And he broke the bread and he said, I love you guys. You're my gang. You're my friends. You're my partners in this. And this is my body. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you everything I have. I want can the guys from Lazarus' house come on up a minute? Just come on up here. This is my body. This is my body. This bread represents the life. Come on up, guys. They're going to pass this out in a moment to you. I'm going to ask you to stand there. There we go. Just take it and hold on to it and pray. In a minute, we're going to ask the kids to come and sit with the parents. So if you want your children to be a part of this, take a piece for them because they're going to be out in a minute. We're doing this as family. Just hold on and think about what Jesus is carrying for you. Go ahead, guys. Pass this out, okay? Thank you. Just go to one side. No, in a minute.
Jesus, all for Jesus. Jesus, all I have and have ever hoped to be.
Just keep holding that bread, and just gonna. The guys from Lazarus House, you want to just put the bread down and grab the juice and start passing that around. And Don, would you get the kids? Ask the kids to come now. You can stand or you can sing. Doesn't matter.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All.
Say
So today we remember and we believe. Why don't we all stand? We remember and believe that we have hope. Amen? Good. We have hope because one thing. Because God the Father sent His Son so that we could be free from sin. We are literally free from our past. We are free. You should say hallelujah. We are free from condemnation. We are free from the chains that used to bind us. As we eat, we remember the body of Jesus and we celebrate His grace. Thank you, Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, God. You say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Is there anyone who, just to make sure that no one's getting passed over here, this is important. Anyone didn't get bread and juice? You want it? There's still a couple left. Okay, this is a reminder today of the blood. In Deuteronomy, we're told that life is in the blood. And that's an old Jewish belief, and it's true. Life is in the blood. You don't have blood, you're not alive. And when Jesus poured out His blood, He gave us a new life. He gave you a new life. He says, when you drink of this, you're going to remember. This is something that happens physically. It's in the physical realm, but it's spiritually is where the work has been done. Where the dividends get paid is in the spiritual, right? As you drink, remember the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that He poured out for the full remission of all of your sins. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you that you're alive. Thank you that you bear our burdens. Thank you that your blood covers all our sins. Thank you, Jesus, that because of you, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you that we can run the race unencumbered and we don't need to be tangled up in all the stuff that was tangling us up before. And we give you all glory and all the power and all the majesty and all the authority. And we declare that it all belongs to you. You, Jesus, are the Lord of lords and you are the King of kings. There is no one like you. There is no other God but you. There is no other God but Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all glory and praise. And all the people say,
amen.
Amen. Now, before we go out, we're just going to do a quick sacrifice of praise. I think we need to just say thank you. So I'm just going to stand here. Put your hand up. I'll identify you. And you, like I said, these are one word things, right? So I am thankful. And I want to say thank you, God, for what? Lynn.
For
salvation and freedom from the past. Peter.
For the joy of the Lord.
For the joy of the Lord. Don.
Hope.
For hope. For Annie. For my life. Amen. Karina. Thank you, Jesus, for inner peace. Amen. Alvin. Amen. Thank you for forgiveness. Chad. Thank you, Jesus, for marriage. Hallelujah. May there be many more here. Yeah. For liberty. Thanks, Debbie. Yes. Cheryl. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Amen. Albert. Alvin. Thank you for comfort and for a new beginning. Marilise. Thank you, Jesus, for preparing a place for us in heaven. Kirsten. Thank you, God, for family. Amen. Amen. Robin. Yes, amen. Rob. Yeah, Vicky. Woohoo! Everlasting life. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Yeah, Crystal. Say it again. Thank you. I am the righteousness of God because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Eternal redemption through the blood of Jesus. Mark. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Calvin. Go ahead, Calvin. What are you thankful for? Carter. Sorry, I know that. I know that. Carter.
God.
For God.
And I need to talk to you after.
Need to talk to me after. Yeah, just so you know, Carter's getting baptized here the first Sunday in August. So, and we're going to talk. Him and I are going to have a talk. And just so you know, September the 10th, I know there's more. I'm going to get to you. September the 10th, we're going to the river. So any of you who want to be baptized, we're going to the river September 10th, and that's going to be a great day. But Carter's getting baptized here in the blue tub on, I think it's the 4th or the 5th of August. Praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. Marnie. Thank you, God, for your healing power. Jeff. Amen. My name, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes. Yeah. And he holds your future in his hands. Amen. Thank you, God. One or two more. Sherry? Yeah. Thank you, God, for our family, for this church family. Sonny?
You said the greatest of these things are love.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, for your love.
The greatest is love. And Rose, you get the last word. What are you thankful for? For family. Let's give God a big applause. Woo-hoo! Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Lift him up. Lift up your voices. Praise the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. He is the Almighty God. He is the Master. He's our Master. He's our God. He's our King. Amen? All right. Know this today. You are free. I hope you leave today knowing you're free. And we're going to, after I give the blessing, we're going to go outside. Anyone have matches here? Good. Someone bring them along, and if you want, you can throw your cigarettes in my toolbox, and we'll burn them up. You are free. You are free because of Jesus. Receive the parting blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you his peace. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be to all who love the Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Amen. Blessings. Let's go.